Morning. This time our children up through fourth grade may be dismissed for junior church. Turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Verse 19. Philippians 2, verse 19. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, so that I too may be cheered by news of you. For I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. For they all seek their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know Timothy's proven worth, how as a son with a father, he has served with me in the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him just as soon as I see how it will go with me. And I trust in the Lord that shortly I myself will come also. I have thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, and fellow worker, and fellow soldier, and your messenger and minister to my need. For he has been longing for you all and has been distressed because you heard that he was ill. Indeed, he was ill near to death. But God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I am the more eager to send him, therefore, that you may rejoice at seeing him again, and that I may be less anxious. So receive him in the Lord with all joy, and honor such men, for he nearly died for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was lacking in your service to me. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for the privilege of serving you. We thank you for the power that you give us through the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, to effectively carry out the work that you've called us to do. Father, we pray that you would continue to grow in us a servant mindset, that we would truly have the mind of Christ, that we would not seek our own interests, but we would seek what you would have us to do, ministering to others, serving, sacrificing, sharing the gospel. Father, I pray if there's anyone here who's never accepted Christ as their Savior, I pray that they would clearly understand that because of their sin, they are separated from you. But the solution to their sin problem is found in the Son of God, the Savior, who took upon human flesh. He humbled himself, went to a cross, laid down his life, and paid the price that only he could pay. He became the Passover lamb who takes away the sins of the world. We thank you for his sacrifice. We thank you for his forgiveness. We thank you for all the promises that we have in Christ. I pray now the Holy Spirit would use the Word of God and plant it in our hearts and minds that it would produce growth, that we would leave here changed, that we would leave here empowered, encouraged to reach out to our community. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. A reporter in California arranged for a man to lie in the gutter on a busy street. Hundreds of people passed the man, but not one stopped to help him or even to show him sympathy. Newspapers across the country years ago told how 38 people watched a man stalk a young lady and finally attack her, and how none of the spectators even picked up a phone to call the police. A couple of teenagers in Detroit discovered a woman in a telephone booth who had suffered a heart attack. They carried her to a nearby house and rang the bell asking for help. The only reply they received was, "Get off my porch and take her with you." A Kentucky doctor was driving down the highway to visit a patient when he saw an accident take place. He stopped and gave aid to the injured and then made his visit. One of the drivers he helped sued him. Is it possible to be like the Good Samaritan today? Must we harden our hearts to protect ourselves because we're concerned about being sued or talked about because we fear our own lives and it's just easier to keep to ourselves? Or are we called by the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ to go into our communities, not seeking our own interests, but looking on the needs of others, serving them, sacrificing our own time and resources for the kingdom of God? I think you know the answer to that question. All of us are called to serve our Savior in the capacity that He has gifted each and every one of us. And it's a daily struggle not to serve our own interests, but to serve the kingdom. And every day, you don't have that battle within you to follow the Holy Spirit or to follow the flesh. Every day, we need to remind ourselves, what is at stake? Eternity. All who put their trust in Jesus Christ, an eternity in heaven, in a glorified body without sin, but all who reject Christ, an eternity in the lake of fire, being tormented day and night. Chapter 2 of Philippians is a very convicting chapter. It started in verses 1 to 11, the greatest example of the submissive mind, of humility, Jesus Christ Himself, taking upon human flesh, humbling Himself, emptying Himself, the kenosis, leaving the glories of heaven, taking on human flesh to serve us and to perform the ultimate act of service by laying down His life so that you and I could be forgiven. No other example will even come close to the example of Jesus Christ. But Paul gives us this example. And the only way to truly live with the mind of Christ, as we looked at last week, is working out our salvation as God works in us through the Word of God, through the Holy Spirit. God will work in us, and then we work out our salvation, which is sanctification. And now Paul closes the chapter with two examples. First, Jesus Christ, and then we looked at Paul himself being poured out as a drink offering. And now we have Timothy and Epaphroditus. Two examples to look to. Imitating them as they imitate Christ. verse 19. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, so that I too may be cheered by news of you. For I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. For they all seek their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. In Timothy, we learn that this submissive mind is something that doesn't come automatically. We see even over time, Timothy had to prove himself in verse 22. Timothy, a disciple of Jesus Christ, one to the Lord, most likely by Paul himself, as he referenced Timothy, a beloved son in the faith. And after he came to Christ, Paul didn't automatically just take him with him on his missionary journeys. He waited to see Timothy grow and others could observe him serving the Lord and growing in faith. Acts 16:2, he, Timothy, was well spoken of by the brothers at Lystra and Iconium. So he was observed by others in that church, how he was growing in the Lord. He was becoming more like Christ. He was developing that submissive mind. And then we find Paul in Acts 16, then taking Timothy along with him on his missionary journey. Timothy was loved by Paul. Timothy loved Paul as well. Both of them had a strong love for Jesus Christ. And because they had a genuine, deep, abiding love in Christ, they had a genuine concern for others. Paul is writing Philippians from where? Rome. In prison. So when he says here in verse 20, I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare, for they all seek their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. Most likely he's referring to here the believers in Rome. And other places he listed some, and you see in the book of Romans, he listed several people that he appreciated. But no one was like Timothy, at least at this point, that truly was like Paul, who had this genuine concern for the physical and spiritual needs of others. Remember Philippians 1:21, a well-known verse, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. I think in a very real sense, all of us live either in Philippians 1:21, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain, or Philippians 2:21. We all seek our own interest, not the things of Christ. We have wonderful opportunities, individually and collectively as a church, to reach those with the gospel of Christ, to take the gospel and have a genuine concern for other people. We also have opportunities within our church to genuinely show love to one another. Many opportunities to serve the Lord in this church and then taking the gospel outside of the church walls. And if we continue to grow in our love for the Lord, He will give us that mind of Christ, that submissive mind that we're not just living for ourselves, to please ourselves, to make sure everything in our lives are going well, but we are genuinely concerned for the welfare of others. It's real. We think about it throughout our day. I mean, think about how many times throughout our days, myself included, that we're just kind of going through our to-do list and things that we got to do, and a lot of things are necessary. But void, what's many times that is not on that list, is things that we can be doing to serve others. Maybe if we complete our list first, then I'll have time to serve others. But we see in the Scriptures that our heart, our mind, it needs to be focused on the welfare of others. And that is truly the submissive mind, and that's what Timothy displayed. And Paul commends him for that, but he also then rebukes those who are not like Timothy. If you're in the habit of marking your Bible and underlining verses, I encourage you to underline verses 20 and 21 and to think about those verses, to meditate upon those verses. Having a genuine concern for the welfare of others. Having that submissive mind. Is your life characterized by that servant mindset? It can be displayed here in this church. It can be displayed in your community. It can be displayed at the workplace. It can be displayed when you visit your family. Many opportunities to genuinely show your love and concern for others. And when we are not doing it, we're doing the opposite. We're seeking our own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. Because when you are serving others in Christ, you are taking the gospel with you. And that will also provide opportunities to share Christ with others. But at least it will show the love of Christ as you are serving them. And now you are focused on God and His kingdom. And what are you less focused on? Your problems. Your concerns. Yes, things that need to be dealt with. But I'm submitting to you, so many times we get so consumed with our own lives that we're in this bubble. We don't see everyone around us that is hurting and is in need. Then we see men like Timothy and Epaphroditus and Paul. And ultimately, the greatest example, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. How they humbled themselves, they became servants, and they served others for the kingdom. Verse 22, but you know Timothy's proven worth, how as a son with a father, he has served with me in the gospel. So Paul sees himself as a father to Timothy, not a biological father, but as a son in the faith. And then he saw this wonderful opportunity to then disciple Timothy and to take him along with him to serve him, to serve with him for the sake of the gospel. And as Paul observed Timothy and his growth, it says here that Timothy's proven worth, his faithfulness to Christ and to the gospel. What a great lesson for you and I. Opportunities we have to share the gospel, to see people saved, and then take them under our wings and disciple them in the faith. This should be the focus of every church, the mission. The Great Commission, making disciples of all people, teaching them the Word of God, seeing them come to Christ, disciple them in their faith. I hope, therefore, to send him just as soon as I see how it will go with me. And I trust in the Lord that shortly I myself will come also. Being Paul's first imprisonment, he eventually was released. And quite possibly Paul could have went to Philippi. We don't know for sure. At this time, he needed Timothy with him. But eventually he desired then to send Timothy to Philippi. But instead of sending Timothy, who does he send? Epaphroditus. Look at verse 25. I have thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier and your messenger and minister to my need. For he has been longing for you all and has been distressed because you heard that he was ill. Indeed, he was ill, near to death, but God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. Paul couldn't say enough about Epaphroditus as well. Notice how he referred to him as his brother, his fellow worker, and his fellow soldier in the faith. When you think of just those three things, what that entails. Remember in chapter 1 how we talked about being partners, the partnership or the fellowship of the gospel. You know, as brothers and sisters in Christ, all of us here at West Pines Baptist Church, we are brothers and sisters. If you're in Christ, you've accepted the Lord as your Savior, you are part of the body of Christ. And because of that, we are in this partnership, this unity that comes because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are in this thing together. We are the family of God. And we take the gospel a lot of times individually in our workplaces, but there's also great opportunities to do it collectively, to go out and share Christ in the partnership of the gospel. We are fellow workers, which gives that idea of taking that gospel out to others. We're brothers, emphasizing the fellowship that we have because of the unity of Christ. We're fellow workers together, and we partner up and we share Christ with others. We're also fellow soldiers. If you recall in chapter 1, striving side by side, which is a picture of soldiers standing firm in the battleground. And that's exactly what we are in as believers in Christ. We're in a war, a battle. And we need to stand firm for the faith of the gospel, the true doctrines of Scripture, to defend it, to declare it, to hold it in our hearts and minds, and to live it out. We're brothers, we're fellow workers, and we're fellow soldiers. So obviously Paul thought a lot about Epaphroditus as well. Not the same as Timothy. But he could send him, Epaphroditus back to them, entrusting him to minister to them. You notice here how he was sick. But what upset Epaphroditus? Why was he distressed? Was it due to his own sickness? No. What does it say? He had been distressed, in verse 26, because they heard, the church at Philippi heard, that Epaphroditus was ill. And he wasn't concerned about his own welfare. He was concerned how they would worry about him. He was demonstrating that submissive mind of Christ, thinking about others and not himself. And I can just imagine as he did that and he lived each day with that mindset, how that also then produced the joy of the Lord. Because that's exactly what the submissive mind does. When we focus and we're consumed about our own problems and everything we're going through, it usually that can bring a lot of discouragement, a lot of and even depression. And we're not serving God, we're not thinking about others. Our focus is just on ourselves. But when we start thinking about others and the gospel and serving God, yeah, we still got things to deal with and we got problems, but we're so excited for opportunities to serve others as we genuinely are concerned about their welfare. He was ill, I mean, to the point of death, it says. He wasn't doing well, but he was still willing to serve God in the capacity that God had called him to serve. He was the one that brought the love gift to Paul. And now Paul was going to send back to Philippi. God had mercy on him. So God was the one that brought healing to him. And not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. So Paul was concerned about Epaphroditus. He was thankful in giving God the praise for healing him. I am the more eager to send him, therefore, that you may rejoice at seeing him again, and that I may be less anxious. So receive him in the Lord with all joy, and honor such men, for he nearly died for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was lacking in your service to me. Risking his life for the gospel of Jesus Christ. God may never call any of us here to risk our life for the gospel. He may, but he may never call any of us here to do that. But we need to be open. Maybe God is calling someone here to a difficult place to minister, to a specific mission field that it can be dangerous to share Christ. But you need to be open to the Lord's leading there. Because when you have this submissive mind, whatever God is calling you to do, you're willing to go. You're willing to do it because you're thinking about serving God through serving others and bringing the gospel with you. And that alone brings you the joy. It gives you the power as you submit to God and His Word to serve people in that capacity. Some of you may say, well, I could never do that. I could never go to a mission field and do something like that. You probably can't in your own power. But in the power of Christ, all things are possible. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. The more we get our minds and our hearts off of the world and we get them on Christ, it changes how we spend our time, our resources, our goals in life. It affects everything we do. One missionary leader said, "The problem in our churches is that we have too many spectators and not enough participants. Too many spectators and not enough participants. Regardless if it's here in Avon or in Africa, we all have a mission field. Remind yourself of that. As you desire to have the submissive mind, to have the mind of Christ, and you want to generally be concerned about people's welfare, you can meet their physical needs, but ultimately the greatest need that can be met is their spiritual need. Without Christ, we know the destination of all unbelievers is a lake of fire. It's only through the gospel that people are saved. There's no other way to get to heaven, because there is no other Savior than Jesus Christ. Paul says, receive him in the Lord with all joy and honor him, honor such men. There's no contradiction here between Philippians 2:7, which says, he made himself nothing, he emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, in Philippians 2:29, where it says, honor such men. God is the one that gets the glory. But we can recognize and show appreciation to others in this church, showing honor to them as they're serving the Lord, as they're faithful in their ministries. So that's appropriate as well. But we understand that ultimately God is the one who gets the glory. He's the one that's producing the good work in us and through us. And then we are working out our own salvation, becoming more like Jesus Christ, inwardly and outwardly, as we are genuinely concerned for the welfare of other people, not seeking our own interests, but seeking the things of Jesus Christ. All heads bowed, all eyes closed. So Christ is the pattern we follow. Paul, Timothy, Epaphroditus, many others, even people in this church are examples to look to. The question, are you developing and growing in the mind of Christ, putting the needs of others before your own? Are you here this morning and you know without a shadow of a doubt, you're 100% sure that if your life was taken from you today, that you would be in the presence of God in heaven? If you're not sure, today can be your day of salvation. Jesus came, took upon human flesh as the Son of God, and then went to a cross to do what only He could do. He took upon your sin. He took upon my sin. He took upon the sins of the world in His body. Then on the third day, He rose again from the dead. And only through Christ can you and I be victorious over sin. We can be victorious over death. Only through Christ. If you've never received Christ as your personal Savior, you've never trusted in Him, today can be your day of salvation. You can call upon Him from a repentant heart, putting your faith in the death and resurrection of Christ for forgiveness of sin. Maybe you're here this morning, you're a believer in Christ. Maybe a specific individual came upon your heart this morning that you need to minister to, that God has put in your path. And you want to come forward and pray for that opportunity. You want to pray for the right words. You want to pray for boldness. You want to pray for God preparing their heart. Maybe you're in the midst of a trial and you just want to depend upon God. You want to cast all your burdens upon Him. Whatever the need is, if God is leading you to come, just come. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the Word of God. We thank You for these examples that we have in Scripture of what it looks like to have the mind of Christ, not seeking our own interest, but being genuinely concerned about the welfare of others. Serving God as we serve others. Father, increase our hearts for lost souls. Increase our burden to share Christ. We thank You for all that You're doing here, all that You promise to do in the future. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand. Have a verse of invitation. Be seated.